Blog Talk Radio.
How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to Lulu Soul Smoking Radio Show. We have a nice lineup for you tonight. We have S&S Pit Crew out of Texas. Just won a big contest with 92 teams down there. They're going to be on the air with us. We got a couple master judges that's going to be on the air with us a little bit later. Some KCBS reps. I know you're going to want to get in on those calls. So call the number 347-202-0263. That way we can make sure that we get all your questions answered tonight. I mean, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here that you'll be able to talk to a KCBS judge, and we'll get to see kind of what goes on in the dark room, as I like to call it, because nobody ever gets to know what's actually going on. We're going to start off the night here with the top five standings in the KCBS. There was a few changes. Three Eyes Barbecue actually stayed at number one. Pigskin Barbecue stayed at number two. Here's where the changes come in. Little Pig Town has moved up from seat number four to actually number three. And Big T's Q Crew has actually moved from number three to number four in the standings. And top five, Munchin' Hogs at the Hilton, bumped out Tippy New Canoe Barbecue Crew. There was a lot of contests this weekend with a lot of things going on. And we'll give you some of the standings on some of the grands and some of the reserve grands. At the Fountain Blaze, off in Senior Q in Independence, Missouri, Patriot Head Smokers took grand champion, and Burnt Finger Barbecue took reserve grand. So, okay, here we go. Grilling and chilling on the main. Grand champion was Hickory Prime, and reserve champion was Chubby Barbecue and Catering. At Swine and Dandy Charity Cook-Off. In Georgia, the grand went to Froggy Bottom Barbecue, and reserve grand went to Uncle Cheat's Barbecue. At the Real Squeal, grand champion was Killer Bees. Congratulations to Killer Bees. Reserve grand went to Old Plantation. Blitz Brew and Crew out of Texas went to grand to IAB Joe Barbecue, and reserve grand to SmokeRing.com. Central Illinois Bragging Rights and Arthur, Illinois. The grand champion was Gilly's Brainstorm Barbecue. I know it's a well-deserved win. I've cooked with Gilly. He is one great cook. Reserve grand went to Pork Patrol Barbecue. Eastern Carolina Barbecue Throwdown in the Rocky Mountains. It was grand and went to Sauce Barbecue. Reserve grand to Wolford Ridge Barbecue. At the Big Barbecue Bash, the event I was at went to Springfield, Tennessee. And a big grand to Big B's Barbecue. It's his first KCBS contest. He's one heck of a cook. Give him congratulations on Facebook. Somehow great job he did. And the reserve grand went to Do-Rag Q. Congrats to Do-Rag. Now at the Sam's Club National Barbecue Tour National Championships in Bentonville, Arkansas this weekend. It was a huge contest. 50 teams out of all the regionals that they had to go through, the local events. The reserve grand went to Lucky's Q. And reserve grand went to Grills Gone Wild, Iowa. Now, I'd like to go into a couple of sponsors that we have. I'd like to thank Barbecue Superstars tonight for having us on, letting us run this radio station, because without them, I couldn't get on Blog Talk Radio. Nolan's Custom Smokers out of Sykeston, Missouri. Cadillac Cookers Rotisserie Smokers out of Sykeston, Missouri. yoke up extra, extra large charcoal baskets, and easy grilling products. You can check all those out on my website at www.lulusbarbecue.com. You can find any information you want to. Just click on the sponsor, it'll roll through and show you all the pictures. They got their own page on there. Click on their page. Get on there. Look at all the products they have. If you like one of the products, just click on that picture. It'll take you straight to their website. You can get in contact with them, any info, and you can get grills made. You can get your charcoal basket made. You can get the easy grilling products. Well, tonight, I have a special guest in with me tonight that's actually one of my sponsors. His name is Joey. He's with Cadillac Cookers, Rotisserie Smokers out of Sykeston, Missouri. How are we doing tonight, Joey?
Good, Cody. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, doing well. Let everybody know what kind of cooker you actually make at where you work at.
We build the actual drum style. A lot of people call them the old style rotisserie smokers with full length fire boxes and standard warmer boxes. We sell smokers all over the country right now. We're in 44 states, I believe. We've got smokers in 44 states. The competition circuit has done really, really well for our guys that use our units. And we just build a variety of products. Anything a person wants, we can customize. There's really no limit. We've got CNC machines that cut all of our parts. So everything's right on the money. We're working on some new products, like a new motor plate that we've designed. If a rotisserie binds up or if some meat happens to fall off because it wasn't positioned right at the start, if it comes off and binds your unit, those motors are so strong, and a lot of times your resets won't throw in time to keep your ears on your motor from just snapping off. And you know as well as I do, if you're using a rotisserie smoker and it's not turning and you're in the middle of a competition, you're in trouble. So what our new unit does, it actually works off vehicle valve springs and an automatic switch. So once a unit binds up, it's going to try to lift the motor and try to pull these valve springs, which actuate the switch and shut the whole unit down, saves your motor. Once you clear out your binding issue, you have to manually reach in and turn the switch on. That way nobody gets hurt. There's several things we do. We're always trying to make our products better. Research. We do a lot of research and development, and that's mainly what I do. I do the computer tech work, and I've got 9 guys in the shop that are just fantastic fabricators. You know, a lot of these places got, you know, not to knock guys that build trailers for a living, but a trailer builder and a fabricator are two different things. You know, they're two different professions. And we've just got a lot of great fabricators, and we try to put out the best product that we can. And we've got a lot of happy customers, as people will be able to see if they go to our website, www.cadillaccookers.com, and read our product reviews. So there's a lot we're doing, Cody.
I know they are a great product. I know they're well built. This is how I met Joey. Last year, we was cooking turkeys. We had so many orders come in. We could not fill them because we didn't have a smoker that was big enough, and everything we had was already filled up. We actually got in contact with Joey. He said, hey, come over to the shop. I got mine here. You can take it. You can use it. We took it to the house. I don't remember how many turkeys we had on it, but I know it burned all night long to where I didn't have to put charcoal in it and get up in the middle of the morning. I can tell you that. They are well built. They do work very well. You say you was shipping in 44 states.
Well, we've got smokers
in 44 states.
Yeah, we've got smokers in 44 states.
How do you get them? Do they have to come get those, or do y'all ship them? I mean, how does that work?
It's just up to the customer, Cody. We can set up shipping. We work with several shipping companies. We have our own shipper that works for our company and only for our company, who makes a couple trips to California a month, New York, Florida. Like I said, we've got smokers all over the country, and we've got the highways being burned up. So we can accommodate any situation. We can meet a person halfway, and the shipping rates are truly, truly, truly competitive. This guy doesn't make a lot of money for what he does. I guess he just likes to drive.
Now, you got a CNC cutter. A lot of people do not know what a CNC cutter is. I know what it is because I've seen it firsthand. But can you explain to the person out there that really does not get to see the background of how smokers are built and explain what the actual CNC cutter does to actually improve your product that you make?
Sure, sure, Cody. What a CNC plasma table is a computer controlled, it's computer numeric control is what CNC stands for. And what it does is I design the products on a computer screen down to every bolt hole. So every one of our products that come out of our shop are the same. So if a person had a problem with a part, I can send them another one, it's going to bolt right up. It's not like the other guys that are using a hand torch to try to cut their end caps and cut their bolt holes. There's a lot of stuff that goes into these. But I designed all the parts on a CNC. Anything I can draw, it'll cut down to our signs, to our motor plates, to our bearing holes in our end caps. But you program it in, you hit a start button, it'll cut an entire sheet. It cuts perfect circles, just anything you want to do. It's automatic. It's like the human hand cannot compete with a CNC plasma cutter. It just does it all. And, again, you can see that video also on our website at CadillacCookers.com. You can actually see the CNC work.
On customized work, I know you're talking about the plasma cutter. You can cut out envelopes, you can cut out different things. On your grills that you actually make, can they be customized? I see that you have several on your website. You have several different cookers. Let me pull up a few here, and let's talk about those for a second.
Sure. A lot of the you see a lot of the base models on the website, but any customization can be done. We can turn an ideal into a working, functioning product that does what it's supposed to do. And the reason we can do that, Cody, is I read all these other companies, all the other smoker companies. I read their reviews, and I read what problems they're having. And what we've done, and from the beginning, is we solved a lot of those problems in our smokers, and that's why we're so successful all over the United States.
The new ash pan. I know the grill that I was using, it didn't have the ash pan, and we was cooking in the shop, and it got ash all over the floor. I had a pile. I know I probably sweat for a couple of hours just trying to get the ash off the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very fun to clean up. I mean, it really is not. And then if you go to contests, a lot of them don't want the ash on the ground. They,
right.
If you come to ashes,
the
coals drop out, and it catches some stuff on fire. What have you done to prevent that?
We've developed a ash pan. We were the first in the round rotisserie market to make one. You've got a fender on the side of your unit, and a lot of guys couldn't figure out what to do. So what we did is we've incorporated the ash pan in ours to where your damper handle on your firebox that gives your airflow control has a quick pin release. You just release that. There's another pin right below it on the ash pan that's shaped just like the firebox. It all flows and looks well. And you just pull your ash pan out, dump it, and you're back in business. Slide it back in. It takes all of 3 minutes.
Now, I know you have a digital control thermostat on your grills. Some of them are gas. Does all of them come gas to where they're kind of gas assisted to where you can turn them off?
Actually, what we've got all from straight charcoal and wood units to forced air convection units to fully automatic gas combustion units. So we can do anything, we've got a variety of products. We try to meet the needs of everybody that calls in, and we've been pretty successful with that. The gas unit's just amazing for the guys that want to get a lot of sleep. Of course, in KCPS, with our gas combustion unit, you can't use the flame to cook with. You can't use gas to cook with. Now, you can use gas to start your wood or charcoal, but you can't use gas to cook with, which you know, Cody. And what the system will do is once you've started your coals and wood, you can actually turn the gas valve off, and you can set your temperature and close your dampers. And once that unit drops 3 degrees from the temperature you're wanting, that fan will kick back on. It'll call for gas, but it won't give it to it, and it'll work as like an air unit as well. So it'll automatically hold your temperature for you. Pretty neat unit.
So you can actually turn it off and on, so that way it can actually be eligible for a KCBS contest, or if you were doing catering to where you just cook every day, and that way it'll burn through the night. What kind of unit is that that's actually on there to where you can turn it off and on? I mean, there has to be a specific kind of burner that can do that.
Yeah, they're called gas combustion burners. They are actually basically the same unit. If you had gas heat in your house. It's the same unit you would have in there as far as the burner goes. It works off a squirrel cage fan. And what they do is they shoot the flame into the firebox, and it'll light your wood. It'll light your coals. When we're using the gas system, we'll throw some wood in the middle of the unit. The burner will actually light it, and that'll supplement some heat, but it'll just set that it'll just let that wood set there and smolder. So the wood's going to last a long time, and it really produces some real deep, good quarter-inch penetration smoke ring, which is what you want and what the KCBS judges like to see. And you could, like I said, you can turn the gas valve itself off, but leave your combustion unit running. So usually when your smoker, say you're cooking at 225 degrees, it drops 3 degrees, it calls for the gas to come on. It would come on, light the flame, and bring it back to temperature. Well, when you've got wood in there that's lit and you can't use the gas in a situation like KCPS competition, it'll use air. So that air will go in, give that wood the air it needs to flame back up. It'll bring it up to temperature, and then the air will shut itself off. So it'll automatically control the temperature for you. And also, we've got a cheaper unit, which is just the air convection. It's a fan that goes on the end that runs through a tube. And the tube that runs through the firebox has progressive holes in it. That way it releases the air evenly. And what that does is make sure your coals and your wood burn evenly so you don't get any hot or cold spots.
You definitely want that. I mean, you don't want the hot or cold spots. I mean, that's one thing that you don't want. That's one thing I noticed, you know, when I was using your rotisserie system, that, you know, I did get an even cook. You know, it was the first time that I've ever used a rotisserie smoker like it. You know, I've never cooked on one before. And, you know, we took it, we brought it. It didn't actually burn that much charcoal as I thought it was going to. You know, we put some wood in there. Actually threw some pellets in there, too. And then, you know, we cooked on it. And it was even from one side to the other. You know, the turkeys were all nice. And I have to say, I got rave reviews about those turkeys. Everybody loved those turkeys that come off your smoker. I don't know if it was a smoker. It might have been the cooker. But you got one,
well,
too.
I think it's got a lot to do with the guys cooking. You know, any good cook starts out with good seasonings and good prep work. The smoker's there to finish your product, and it takes a good smoker to do that. And actually using them myself, you know, I'm a cook myself. We don't get to do a lot of competitions because we're busy. We produce close to 200 big units a year, and there's a lot of welding in those things. There's about two miles of welding wire in one smoker. So we just don't get the time we need, you know, to go through the competitions like we'd like to. But we can compete against you guys anyway. You guys are the big dogs in this area, so we'll just leave that to you.
I appreciate it. How many man hours actually goes into one of those grills, and which one is actually the top favorite right now that has probably been producing the most orders for you?
For your competition guys and your small restaurants, your small caterers, they're going to buy the 3660 model, and it'll hold about 32 Boston Dutch. And it's the most, you know, it's economical. And some of your bigger guys, they'll buy the 4860 5 shelf or 10 shelf. The 10 shelf will hold between 80 and 100 Boston Dutch, depending on the size. So the 3660 is a real common, and it costs in the $4,200 range is where it starts at for charcoal wood. And goes from there because, Cody, we've got a lot of options.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options. A lot of options y'all got. That's a 30 by 60 rotisserie smoker. You know, it comes standard with a single axle. Yep, 3660.
Yeah.
And it's got a 50 by 96 trailer for $42.95. You can look that up at www.CadillacCookers.com. I'm going to read some of the reviews you got on here. I was reading some of the reviews. You know, they're quite interesting. So I want to take a peek at those and let everybody kind of understand that. You know, it's just not my point of view of what I like, but I want to inform everybody on what, you know, what kind of other people are saying. You know, there's a
and
guy
that's what
who
we
says,
listen to.
I mean, that's the people you have to listen to. That's the people that builds your business. That's how you make things better. That's how you move things forward, is actually listen to the people that are willing to help you. You know, a lot of people get upset by critiquing. They believe it is kind of a downfall, but, you know, the critiquing is actually something that helps you out in your business and your life. So
it does.
That is a good thing
to
have.
Cody. And what that does, two heads are always better than one. there's a lot of veterans out there that have been cooking longer than you and I put together. And those guys are the guys that you really need to listen to. So don't ever just throw out somebody's comment from one ear out the other. You know, just listen to it, and sometimes it'll really help you with your units. You know, I've had people that have gave me ideas, and I've incorporated them. So, and there's several people that do real well. We've got some many grand champions. We've got Tango's World Championship Barbecue. They use our units. The co-founders of the MBN, they actually use Cadillac cookers. So go ahead and if you want to go through a couple reviews and let people know what other people are saying, that'd be great, Cody.
All right, I appreciate it, Joey. It says, beautiful design, elegant workmanship, and easy to use. Thank you, Joe. Next one says, the smoker is great. I couldn't be happier. Also, the rib racks are awesome. Tom Smith. This thing is a beast. I am able now to cook twice the amount of meat each week with half the amount of wood. That was BJ Terry. And then the last one is, this cooker is an awesome monster. The temperature holds very well, and the motor works fantastic. Kenny Train. So, you know, there's a couple people right there, just reading off a few, that you can see that the products that Lulu stands behind, but the products that Cadillac Cooker builds is a product that is affordable, and the workmanship is something that you want to have in your arsenal. And everybody knows, whatever you got in your arsenal makes you good as anything. I mean, you could be the worst cook, but if you got something better to cook on, it's going to make you a little bit better. But
we'll
just have to see how that goes.
You know, Cody, not to interrupt you, but the rotisserie smoker, when you've got a flat grill unit like a lot of you guys cook on, you've got to be a real cook. Let me just put it that way. A rotisserie kind of takes the professionalism out of it for the guy that's starting out. You're not going to burn any meat. You're usually not going to overcook it unless you go an hour or two way over. And it just helps that guy that don't know when to turn his meat or don't know really what he's doing. He can throw some meat in there, he's going to come out with a good product, you know. The restaurants that haven't used rotisseries in the past that have bought ours are like, wow, this is unreal. I didn't know there could be this little work in cooking barbecue.
Yeah, because, I mean, once you got that rotisserie system, I mean, your meat just keeps getting moist and moist and moist, rolling over top of each other while it cooks. I mean, that is
right,
a big benefactor right there.
Yeah, you never have to rotate or reposition any meat. If you're cooking butts for 10 or 12 hours, you'll never touch them unless you want to spray them with some whatever a person wants to. You know, a lot of them shoot apple cider vinegar or apple cider on them, and people like to spray them, which is a good idea, but you never touch the meat once you've got it in the unit. It finishes itself. It doesn't score on the five-by-side. It does a great job.
All right, Joey. Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Tell us about your product. You can go on my website, www.lulusbarbecue.com. It is on there. If you'd like to go straight on his website, it's www.cadillaccookers.com. You can find anything you want on there. Just call him up. There'll be a secretary in the office, or he might personally answer the phone himself. I appreciate having you on tonight, Joe. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I would just like to say I appreciate you bringing us on. And I've heard nothing but good about you guys, a lot of the catering events you've done. I've actually had, you know, I've had the pleasure of eating some of your food myself. Not that I need it, but it's really, really good. And I encourage anybody in your area that you will cater in to give you guys a shot, because you really do a great job. And once again, I appreciate you bringing us on. And anytime you'd like to talk to us, just give me a call.
I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you very much.
Okay, Cody. Have a good night.
Thank you. That was Joey with Cadillac Cookers, Rotisserie Smokers. You can find him at www.lulusbarbecue.com. He's got his own site on my webpage, or you can look him up at www.cadillaccookers.com. Make sure you look into that, guys. Now, my next guest, I'm going to introduce him a little different. I couldn't get the song I wanted, but we're going to go with a different theme. I know he'll be happy with it, but I knew he'd really be happy with the theme song I picked out, which was the Houston Texans theme song, but I couldn't get it going, so we're going to go on a different route, and we're going to play this song.
Cowboy. Cowboy. come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint. Buy an old drop top, find a box of pimp. Then I'm a kid, rock it up and down your block. Go with a bottle of scotch and watch lots of crotch. Buy a yacht with a flag saying chillin' the most. Then rock that bitch up and down the coast. Give a toast to the sun, drink with the stars. Get thrown in the mix and tossed out of bars. Fifth to Tijuana, I wanna roam. Find Motown, tell the fools to come back home. Start an escort service for all.
All right, if you've been watching my post, you know who's coming up. I've got Pitmaster Robert Sierra and Gabe off SNS Pit Crew. They're coming off a huge win out of 92 teams this weekend. There were several big teams down there. This contest was actually held through the Lone Star Barbecue Society. If you don't know who that is, you can look them up at www.LoneStarBarbecueSociety, and you can find out anything you want on it. It's actually one of the most fast uprising competition networks out there right now. So if you want to look that up, you can see what's going on. How are we doing tonight, boys?
We're doing pretty good today, Cody. How you doing?
Not too bad. Is this Sierra?
This is Robert. Yes, sir.
Is Gabe online with us?
He will be in a minute. He had to take a short break. You know what I mean?
Short break. I know what kind of break that was. That was probably because he probably ran out of Big Red Soda, and he had to go down the street to get some from the store.
That's what it is. You know, we can't do it if we ain't got our Big Red. You know, we talking barbecue, we got to have Big Red.
What is up with the Big Red drink? I mean, every time I look on Facebook, y'all are eating brisket and drinking Big Red. You know, I was kind of ventured out in Tennessee the other day, running around, and there actually happened to be some Big Red in the store. Now, I don't know if it was the true Big Red soda, like what you drink. It wasn't in a glass bottle. It was in plastic, and I have to be honest with you, it kind of tastes like crap. That was my opinion of that one. But as soon as I get down to Texas, I want to try this Big Red and see what's going on. I mean, what kind of flavor does that have?
I guess it's just been compared to a cream soda. It's just real sweet, made with real sugar. It's just some good stuff, and it's just Big Red and barbecue. It just goes well. That's usually what the Central Texas barbecue places serve with your drink. You know, either sweet tea or Big Red. I prefer both, but I'd rather have a Big Red myself.
Y'all eat brisket down there every day? Because, I mean, y'all are always, seems like there's always brisket right in front of you every day.
I'll eat brisket every day if I could, you know. I love it. It's good stuff, you know. Brisket here in Texas is what pork is up north to y'all, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, what makes brisket so special down there? I mean, what's so different about the Texas brisket? I've never had any Texas brisket. I don't get out of Missouri that much, I guess you can say. But I mean, what really makes that Texas brisket different than anywhere else? I mean, is it the season, the way it's cooked, the way it's prepared?
Well, I guess, you know, Texas brisket would have been just, you know, it's pretty simple. You know, a little salt, pepper, maybe a little cayenne. You slow smoke it for a good while, either over mesquite or oak wood. And just let it cook 15, 16 hours till it's ready. And it's ready when it's ready, you know. So no foil, no nothing. But, I mean, out there some people use foil around here, you know.
Do you cook it on an open flame, just over coals, or do you cook it kind of indirect? How does that work?
I cook it indirect in an offset pit, you know, pretty much just offset using a post oak.
Oh, so you use Texas post oak then?
Yes, sir. Sure do.
The first time I actually heard about Texas post oak was when I was watching Johnny Trigg on Barbecue Pitmasters. I didn't know if is that just a post you pull out of the ground and throw it in the smoker? I mean, or is it like a different wood down there?
Just another tree. You know, they call it post because it's pretty much straight. I mean, there's various kinds of oak wood. You know, you got blackjack, red oak, live oak, all kinds of post oak, but the post oak is just pretty much straight that you can make post out of. So that's where it gets its name, and it just produces a real good smoke flavor. To the meat, just works well, you know, so it won't make it bitter as like mesquite will. So that's why I like to use oak myself.
So, you know, so the Texas poke oak actually has a different flavor content than just the regular oak wood then.
Yeah, just a little bit. They all got, you know, like blackjack's got a little bit stronger smoke flavor to it, you know. So you know, just the post oak is, I guess, what everybody uses, and it's good. It's real good.
Well, let's get into this contest here. It was over at Hills Country Cook-Off. It was a state championship in San Marcos. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you get into that contest?
We've been that contest has been going on about 7 years, maybe. We've been doing it every year. It's grown. Richard, the promoter over there, Lulac, they've been growing that contest. And, you know, every year it just gets bigger and better. And it's our local cook-off here, so it's our hometown cook-off that we go do. And it just, you know, it's got a lot of people coming from all over Texas, and we got people from South Texas, up from towards Houston, up north, and out west. So they all come right here and try to win the big Bertha trophy with $1,000 that go with it.
Now, the Texas, the Lone Star Barbecue side is a little different than the KCBS and a couple of different ones. What all categories do y'all actually cook at that cook-off?
Well, we'll do a brisket, ribs, and chicken. So on the chicken, we got to do a half chicken, fully jointed with the wing tip, leg, thigh, everything together. You turn in one, if not two, depending on how many teams there are. And then on the ribs, you got to cook pork spare ribs, and we'll turn in 7 slices or 9, depending on the amount of teams. And then brisket, you'll turn in 7 or 9 slices of brisket. No burn-ins or nothing, just straight slices of brisket.
That's a little different. I mean, you know, so it kind of depends on the teams on how many actually slices they get for each category.
Correct. If the cook-off has, like, over 60 teams, you got to turn in 2 half chickens, 9 slices of ribs, or 9 slices of brisket, 9 ribs. If it's under 60, you can do a half a chicken, 7 and 7 on the ribs and brisket. So just because the way they do judging, you go through tables. It's not like KCBS where you only got 6 judges on one, you know, for your meat. Here, you know, you have the first table, which will have like 6 judges on it. And then they'll take so many off that table to the second round, and they got to do 3 rounds. You know, they'll have 3 rounds of table judging. So you got to have enough slices for everybody. So the judges here only get like 1 bite versus where they can eat the whole rib or the whole slice of brisket.
So there's actually so there's 3 stages you go through. So you have to make it – you turn in your meat.
Correct.
And then you come to the first table, and the judges eat your food. And if they believe it's the top food there, they move it on to the second table?
Correct. Correct. You get they'll have, depending how many teams they'll have enough tables for each team, and I usually about 15 trays go to one table, and they'll judge those. The 6-7 judges will judge all that meat, and then I don't know how many they'll take. They already have a number that they'll take to the next round, and they'll take every table, like the top 5 or whatever, move it to the next round, and then they'll judge it. And if you still got a lot of trays, then, you know, they'll move the next round where you make the final table, and then that's where they'll take the top 5 or 10, whatever they're going to announce.
Well, I do find something oddly different. With the chicken, you say you have to cook a whole chicken half that has to be all together, correct?
Correct, correct. It's got to be together.
So when you turn that chicken half in, you turn either 1 chicken half or 2 chicken halves in. And people, we're talking about the Lone Star Barbecue Society. If you've never heard of it, you can go to www.LoneStarBarbecueSociety and look it up. It's a little different. So they take that chicken in. Do they just take it and they just, you know, take a little bit of white meat, take a little bit of dark meat out of it to see if those 2 portions have been, you know, 1 dried out? Because a lot of people can't cook the whole chicken breast. They, you know, it's real talent. You have to be real talented to get that chicken breast moist on the breast and done in the legs.
Correct. You got to – that's what makes that half chicken a little more tender. You got to cook that chicken where that breast is still real moist, and the thigh is still nice and tender. But it's all got to be together, so, you know, got to do a good job on it, I guess.
I was looking at the scoring from this contest. It was hard for me to make out because I didn't understand it. But it just seemed real simple of just basically, what's the scoring procedure? Is just 1 through 10? They judge you 1 through 10 in each category?
Correct. They give you 1 through 10. Each judge will give you, you know, 1 through 10 for taste, appearance, tenderness, all that. And then they'll total it up. So, you know, you can, on one table, you probably get like 70 points, I believe. And then, you know, you just move on, and then they'll do it over. And it, you know, it like starts over on the next table, and you just keep getting judged. And then at the end, the highest score wins pretty much.
Well, we're talking with S&S Pit Crew. We're talking with Pitmaster Robert Sierra right now. Actually, how we become friends with Pitmaster Robert Sierra was on Facebook.
Okay.
One night, we was just happened to be on a trailer talking, and we kept seeing his brisket. So we actually messaged him trying to send us some of that nice seasoning he's got for brisket. We still haven't got any of that seasoning, but we're working on it to see if we can get something done. Because Robert's actually known as Brisket Man. He is the Brisket Man. And if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm right, brisket is what won you this competition down there. Is that correct?
It helped along with my ribs. It sure did. Brisket helped us. My chicken, I don't know what happened. It flew the coop this weekend, but I did have a moist, tender chicken. And either all the good chickens hit the same table, and I guess we got left back. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But, brisket, I would say brisket is our strongest category. When I first started cooking, I started cooking brisket. That's all I wanted to cook. You know, they said that was the main thing around here. So I was like, that's what I want to learn. And I learned cooking brisket. Then I started cooking ribs and chicken and stuff, you know. But the brisket sure helped us win the cook-off here. We took second this week. We actually tied for first. We lost on the tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah? How's the tiebreaker situation? I mean, if it comes out in a tie, do they go re-back and you have to cook for them again? I mean, serve them the samples you had left? Or is it like a coin flip? Or do they take one of the high? Is there an overall category that's the highest winner? The one with the highest score in that category gets the win. How does that work for you?
What they'll do is, like, they have the score sheets for each judge, and they'll have them together in the hand. They'll get somebody to just pull one sheet out from like the two contestants, and they'll re-add the score. And if it's a tie, they'll pull another one until, you know, someone's going to have one lower score for tenderness or taste, and then that's how they decide on the tiebreaker. So they don't drop the lowest score. They just drop a whole sheet of the score for one judge, and then they'll re-add the score, and that's how that comes up.
Let me ask you this. Did you have the Black Pearl with you?
Yeah, she's right behind me right now, actually.
She's sitting there. Explain the Black Pearl to people that haven't seen her on Facebook. She's actually a different, unique kind of setup. The cooking is open. It's a trailer that is open, has its cookers on, has its tables. It's got a sound system. It's painted. I mean, it's very unique and very different, and it stands out. Kind of explain everything that's on that so they can kind of get an idea picture of what the Black Pearl is.
Okay, well, the Black Pearl is a... It's a 30-inch diameter pit, 3/8. It's the pit itself's 9'4". It's 11/8 with the firebox. It's got an insulated firebox. It's got sliding racks on the pit itself. So it's an offset cooker, basic Texas offset cooker with a smoker. It's got a 3/4-inch oak wood all around for my cabinets and stuff. It's got a ceramic tile tabletop on it with a Texas flag cutout, with the state of Texas cutout in it in the shape of the Texas flag. It's got sink, running water. It's got a one-man pit chicken grill on it. It's got a toolbox for my tents and stuff, my canopies. It's got a 37-inch LCD flat screen. It's got a sound system, sub, amps, the works, DVD player. Lights. It was all made for safety and pretty much for show and just paint it. But it was driveway built. We pretty much built it. We had a couple of my friends, you know, Gabe, Mondo helped a lot. We did all the painting, the woodwork. a friend of mine named Mike did most of the big welding since he had the welder stuff. But it's just been a labor of love. And believe it or not, it was all spray can painting. Except for my fenders now, which are automotive finished. But the whole pit was painted with a spray can.
The whole thing was painted with a spray can? I tell you what, I never, ever thought that. Never.
I put a lot of Krylon on that pit myself. We sprayed the heck out of it with a lot of Krylon. But hopefully it's due for a new makeover. I do need to get some new paint on it and redo my wood. We were just talking about that the other day. We need to resurface the wood and then reapply some of that, forget what it is now, lacquer or whatever, and try to make it look pretty again. But she's been good to us. You know, she's about 7 years old now, weighs 8,500 pounds, and she's a low and slow cooker. She's not hot and fast. She won't cook hot and fast. She was built to cook low and slow.
Texas style, low and slow and big. Now,
that's
another
it.
Thing you'll find unique about Robert Pitmaster Sierra is his hat. Now, you know, most cowboys or people that wear cowboy hats, you know, they have a regular cowboy hat on. The cowboy hat he wears is probably about 5 times bigger than my head. Like, it would probably sit on my shoulders. How big is actually the hat that you wear?
The hat's just a regular size hat. It's just that I'm so small, it just looks bigger.
I don't believe that for a second.
But anyways, right before that, Gabe finally got back with our big red. Let me introduce Gabe, let him say hello and stuff right quick.
How's it going, Gabe?
Hey, it's going all right. How y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good tonight. Doing pretty good. Did you enjoy the contest, the big win? What was your biggest event right there? What was the main one you cooked?
Main one I cooked? Well, I like to say I'm the man behind the scenes. Yeah, I help, you know, Rob's the main guy. He's has his title. He's the pit master. So I just help him, you know, if he needs something mixed, he needs something. The trays, I usually do the trays, whether it be KCBS or IBCA or Lone Star. You know, mixing up the ingredients, things like that. But I leave it up to the pit master himself. I haven't been in it as long as he has, so I'm trying to learn from him, which I have. So, you know, we're good friends, and I just really stick around and hang out and just, you know, spend time with good friends.
I mean, you got to have that. I mean, it's hard for one man to actually, you know, take care of one competition. To have that other second pair of hands of another man that can, you know, do other things is a great possibility of getting more things done at one time to where you can kind of relax, you can watch your meat more, and, you know, you can trust in somebody to actually, you know, what they're going to do is going to turn out a great product for what the product they have, you know, slaved all night to put in that box. So, you know, being an apprentice is a good thing. You know, I wouldn't mind coming down there being an apprentice to learn how to cook some brisket. I could use it, so.
Hey, as long as you bring some of those nachos, you're more than welcome.
I can bring some pork nachos, baby. We can take care of that all day long. I actually served some today.
Man, yeah, we were hoping to meet up with y'all, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But
they're on the wrong highway.
Yeah, we were opposite sides, you know.
Yeah, y'all come up the left side of the state. I wasn't expecting y'all to come up the left side of the state. I was looking for y'all to come up more the center of the state, like, you know, Interstate 55.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping we were on the good side.
Yeah, you probably was on the good side anyway.
All right. But that win, it was great, you know. You know, just we got that out of the way, and now it's just on to try to win some more. You know, it's just every weekend's different, and we just do our best just like everybody else does. And, you know, hopefully we can come out with some more wins this year.
I know y'all been cooking a lot. Do y'all cook every weekend? Is there an event going on close to y'all every weekend down there?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, there's always, you know, as big as Texas is, there's always something going on. And even if we're not cooking out on for competition, you know, we're doing it, you know, on the weekend for, you know, Houston Texans football, or I'm not going to mention the other team we watch, but, you know, it's like I said, it's not just about competing. It's about spending time with family and friends, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest things about barbecue, you know, it's family and friends. We have met so many people since we started cooking. It's just kind of unreal to kind of wrap your head around, to meet the people, to talk to everybody, to be close to everybody. You know, just like, you know, Pitmaster Jerry, we met him, and then we met you, Gabe. We've met several different people from down there. We met several people from Georgia. It's just unique that, you know, everybody has a common ground that they can talk about. Different styles, different flavors, but everybody has that common ground to where they come together, and it's barbecue. But the other thing I always find out, it's always family and friends. You know, when you get to the cook-off, you know, when you sit up next to somebody, you might not know them when you get there. But you'll be good friends with them when you leave. That is one thing you can say about contests. You always meet somebody no matter what. They just kind of walk into your life, and you become friends, and you just kind of keep chatting back and forth.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, when we went to St. Charles, you know, there was people that we never knew, and, you know, now we know them, and that's just part of it all.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about y'all was on the Sam's circuit. Where did y'all start out on the Sam's circuit? What was the first contest y'all did on the Sam's tour?
Well, we did a local, or what would it be called, area. You know, we started in Austin, and, you know, last year we did as well. The regional last year was in Fort Worth, but this year was in St. Charles, so we had to make a longer haul, and you know, it's an experience. We're trying to get over that hump. You know, we're trying to get to the championship round, just like everybody else. But, you know, it's a great experience. You know, that was our fourth one that we did out of 2 years. And, you know, we're wanting to do more. And it looks like KCBS is slowly working its way down south. And hopefully we can get a lot more of those events down here.
Yeah, that was your second year on the KCBS tour on the Sam's Club deal. Y'all did about the same thing last year. Y'all made it past the first round, correct? And y'all went to the second round?
Yeah, we've ended up in the second round, unfortunately. I mean, it's a blessing to move on. But, you know, just like any competitor out there, you want to try to make it to the championship round and, you know, see what you can do against some of the best out there.
Well, let me ask you this. How did the Texas brisket do up here in St. Charles?
Well, we got for us, we got fourth place up in St. Charles, which is not, I mean, it's not bad considering it being our, you know, fourth time doing it.
Well, thank you.
I mean, fourth place is a big standing in the Sabs Club. I mean, it really is. It's a big, you know, because you already met the locals. You made it past them. And then other people from within this district made it to that area. I mean, for a Texas brisket to do that well up here in Missouri, I think I'm going to have you send me some that season. Can I get okay on that?
Yeah, you get okay. I thought you got it last time, but then it must have went to your other location when you set up. So someone else must have took it. It's simple. All you need is a little salt, a little pepper, a little cayenne and garlic. Put it all together and just let it ride.
You cook it low and slow.
Low and slow, yeah. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing wrong cooking hot and fast. You know, in competitions, a lot of hot and fast. I've done a few, but I ain't going to say it's fast. I've done them in 6 hours. I don't think that's real fast. But I just prefer, you know, just... I can drink more Big Reds when I cook them a lot longer.
Yeah, you drink a whole lot more Big Reds, can't you?
Yeah. We're glad to be up there in St. Charles. Like I said, we're looking forward to meeting y'all. We just came up the wrong road, and we thought you were right there in St. Louis somewhere at first. And we're like, well, we can come around the city. But, I mean, you're like 2 hours south of St. Louis, I think. And I was like, uh-oh, you know, we weren't going to be able to make it this time, but we'll be coming up there again sometime, I'm sure. But we're going to hit Lulu. We're going to hit that big red trailer.
the big red sled, baby. It's always everywhere. It's kind of got to stop in before the window closes.
That's it. We'll make it. And I will call in and have us something saved. What is a little brown bag or something?
You never know. Maybe for too long, I'm going to start shipping this all over the United States. You know, that's the kind of the direction we're going in. You know, kind of cooking meat, vacuum sealing it, you know, putting it in a box, shipping it with dry ice, and getting it to our customer. I mean, I've had a lot of people from all kinds of different areas wanting product. So, you know, that's probably going to be our next stage of flow, you know, but, you know, we'll have to stay where we're at right now. We'll just be cooking for everybody within 300 miles. So.
Yeah, that'll work. I'm sure there's a lot of happy people up there in Missouri.
Yeah, maybe we can all meet up down in Tupelo. I've been kind of rallying the posse of everybody, trying to get everybody to go to Tupelo, and everybody kind of meet up down there. I know I talked to Danny. I've talked to several different ones. And there's a lot of people going to Tupelo. Maybe y'all might be able to get into Tupelo down there, and we can come in on that contest, and everybody just have kind of a big barbecue bonfire down there and kind of sit around and drink big reds.
There you go. When is that in Tupelo? And, in fact, I had a case of big reds for you, but we drank them.
Imagine that. You drank them. Well, guess what? I ate your barbecue nachos today, too, just to let you know. They was good. I mean, it's just something about that chip and the pork so nice and tasty and tender with the cheese and sauce. Oh, it's so good. I'm sorry. I had to do that to you. I was having flashbacks.
I was having flashbacks. I'll get the picture back up here in a minute when we get done here, just so I can look at them.
I'm not for sure when Tupelo is. I know it's closer to the beginning of the year. Sometime, not for sure. I imagine one of my call-ins will probably know that question, but I do not.
Next year we want to try to do a little bit more. We want to hit a little bit more out of state, you know, either Louisiana or the Tupelo sounds good, or maybe get back into Oklahoma or who knows. New Mexico or something, just go try it out there, see what. I like that KCBS style, and I like our IBCA Lone Star down here in Texas, and it's good, and it's great. But, you know, I like to go out and meet some more people with Facebook. You know, you meet a lot of people, so it gives you the chance to get out there and meet them in person finally. You know, I like to go see all these cooks that are doing big things, you know. So we like to go just go visit and meet and maybe get lucky.
Well, maybe we won't have to travel down there to the Lone Star Barbecue Society down there where y'all had a cook-off, because I sure can't cook any chicken up here, that's for sure. I've had basically two last places in chicken in the past two contests. It's been killing me. I can cook a chicken half like it ain't nothing. Maybe I need to come down there and insert some whole chickens into a box. Maybe I'll get lucky.
There you go. You never know. It might be your calling to have chicken.
Might be the only way I'm going to be able to win in chicken. You got to kind of think outside the box. You can't always say, well, I'm not winning a chicken, because, you know, you got to keep thinking, hey, I'm going to win a chicken, but I just got to find a different way to win in a different area. So we'll see how that goes. What's the next contest y'all got coming up? Y'all got something big coming up, or is that going to be the biggest one that y'all have done this year?
Well, that's one of the bigger ones we've done this year. This weekend we're cooking in Austin. We're doing a barbecue throwdown at a Sam's Club. And then next week we're going to cook in Bull Verde, Texas, at the Mimi and Bull Verde's, another state championship cook-off. And there's going to be a lot of the big heavy hitters from around Texas over there at that cook-off. That should be a lot of fun. We'll go see if we can kind of stay up with the big boys over there and measure up. So that'll be our next big cook-off in 2 weeks. And then we'll pretty much kind of start winding it down, and I like to kind of redo my pit, like I said, try to strip the wood off and get it sanded and put some more Krylon on and try to make it pretty for next year again.
We're going to have to get Krylon on as a sponsor. So if anybody's out there listening that works at Krylon or, you know, anything like that, tell them to call Robert Pitmaster here to get him a sponsorship. He's probably used, 500 cans of the Krylon on that trailer?
Yeah, we used a lot. You know, the good thing about it is, you know, touch-up is easy. You know, because it'll blend right in, you know, so I can always touch up my paint, you know. I just ain't, we've been so busy lately. We've been cooking every weekend, whether it's been at a cook-off, benefit, helping out the community, or a little catering, or little tailgating and stuff, you know. We've been cooking every weekend, and I think we're about ready to kind of take a little time off and get the stuff ready, and then start early in the year again in January next year.
So you're going to be starting again back in January?
Yeah, we plan to. Go ahead.
So you got 2 weeks. It's going to be your last cook-off down there. How many contests are actually held down there in Texas? I mean, there has to be a lot going on down there in Texas. I mean, I know you said there was probably one every week. I mean, are they big events? How many teams are these contests pulling in? Is it pulling in 20, 30? Is it pulling in 10 or 15? Is it pulling 50 to 100? I mean, what's the average contest size down here? Because most of them around here are roughly around 30. Then you get into 40s, and then, you know, you have the big one like Tupelo. They'll be anywhere up to 100 and something teams at Tupelo. So, I mean, some of the best in the whole United States will travel all the way down to Tupelo to cook. What's it kind of like down there? I mean, is the teams big down there, or is it kind of small, or is a lot of them just average?
Around, I would say an average, you have about 25 teams. Some of the new ones might have about 15 or 20. Some of the better ones that are paying more money, of course, you know, the ones that get more money get more teams. They'll run anywhere over 100 teams. You know, you got some in Mercedes early in the year. Robstown, those will run 100 teams. The San Antonio Rodeo and the Houston Rodeo, those run over 300 teams. Then you got up in Houston, they got cook-offs that have over 100 teams. And so, like, you know, at least once a month or twice a month, you got a cook-off that's hosting over 50 to 60 teams. And then you got your smaller ones. Like this weekend here, from my house, there's like 3 cook-offs. We got one in Kyle, Green, and New Braunfels. They'll probably be about, one might have about 20, the other two might have about 25, 30 teams each. So there's 3 cook-offs we can go to within 20 minutes from our house, but we won't be going to either one this week. So, yeah, there's cook-offs almost everywhere every week.
I mean, that's a pretty good numbers right there. I mean, you know, with that many contests going on, I mean, you think it might be, you know, 10 or 15 teams. But with numbers of 20s and 30s and bigger numbers like that, I mean, that is, you know, that's kind of outstanding because, I mean, that's kind of how this area is starting to work, is starting to feel. There's starting to be a lot more contests. I know there's a lot of backyard contests. The KCBS contests are really starting to fill up. They're starting to have a lot of KCBS contests. I know there's, you know, some that was NBN swapping over to KCBS. It just seems right now that KCBS is really the biggest dominant one in the central United States where we live at right now. Now, I know about the FBLA or down there in Florida, and there's a Georgia over there, but it seems like in central United States right there, KCBS seems to be the top market right now for us.
Right, yeah, it seems like that's where all the money's at right now, and all the sponsors and stuff at KCBS, but I mean, it's growing. It's a growing sport, you know. I know, you know, you get more cook-offs nowadays. You know, everyone's having one and more people getting involved, more people starting their teams, getting out there and competing. And it's a growing sport, and, you know, we're I call it a sport, I guess. You know, we do it every week, try to when we can. But, yeah, it's fun. We try to do everything we can to help promote it, you know, help promote wherever, you know, barbecue restaurants. It's got to do with barbecue. We'll promote it, you know, something that we can. That's what it's all about. You know, we got to try to make it grow, get more money into the business here. So we got a chance to win some more.
I see where you said it was a sport. A lot of people don't see it as a sport. This is the way I see barbecue right now. Barbecue is an unfactored sport in the United States. It's one of the fastest growing. If it was a stock market, I'd buy it because it's one of the fastest growing sports in the whole United States right now is barbecue because anybody can do it. You can take your Weber kettle, you can take your Weber, you can take your charcoal, you can take whatever you got at the house. As long as you pay an entry fee and you buy your meat, you can go cook at that contest. Well, you know, anything or not, you can go out and cook at that contest. And I think a lot of people seeing it as something that they can actually do. With that question, I got a question to ask you. This is my theory on barbecue. It's kind of like the same way NASCAR. You know, in the early times of NASCAR, you know, it was just a bunch of rednecks running a dirt track from moonshiners. It has grown into the one of the biggest profitable sports in the whole United States. And they didn't actually see NASCAR as a sport either at one point in time. But it is one of the biggest sports to make money in. And anybody can tell you that. I mean, there's huge sponsors. There's tons of marketing. Races on all the time. How do you feel about barbecue being connected to NASCAR in that sense of it growing in that area of field?
Yeah, I think it's growing. I don't know if it get as big as NASCAR, but I think it can get there. You know, it's I mean, you got a lot of the, you know, you got Kingsford, you got, I mean, you got Green Eggs, you got all kinds of big sponsorships out there, I guess. Meats, you know, it's good advertising and stuff. I think it's going to grow. You know, it's hot right now, and it barbecue now, you know, today is a lot bigger than what it was 5 years ago, you know. And it just is real competitive, you know. It's getting harder and harder to win, you know. You got a lot of good teams. There's a lot of good information out there, a lot of schools. It's getting hard to try to win all the time nowadays, you know. It's just so competitive now. But I do see it growing. I hope we can be a part of it somehow. You know, we sure like to get a sponsor. I'd go cook every week if I could. You know, we'll go do it. You know, we just need the finance to do it with.
Now, I know you use some interesting meat. It's a different meat. Do you want to share the product that you use?
Yeah, on my pork, we use a Compart Duroc premium pork. Comes out of Minnesota. It's some real good. They're on a special diet. It's good pork for you, actually. It's good for your heart. It's good for your cholesterol. And it's just some good, moist pork. Got well marbled, fresh. You know, they only kill like 600 pigs a week. And I get it delivered fresh every Friday morning. Can't get much fresher than that, I guess. But some real good pork, man. I love it. We took third in ribs this weekend. And, of course, that helped us get the grand championship, too, this weekend. And so, you know, we've done good with our butts. We don't have too many butts that we cook down here, but every now and then you get a contest that uses them. But, yeah, they got excellent pork, good flavor and stuff. And I'm sure glad they're part of the S&S Pit Crew.
Yeah, Copart Duroc Meat out of Minnesota. Did they just ship it automatically to your door? You just send in your order and they just automatically send it to your door?
Correct. I just call them on like Tuesday and said I'm cooking this week. And they'll send me my ribs, my pork butts, or whatever I need, you know, whatever I'm cooking that weekend. And they'll overnight it. Next day, they'll ship it on Thursday evening when they cut it all up. And Friday morning, it's at my door before 9 a.m.
I mean, that's kind of amazing. I mean, it's a great product. I've never cooked it myself, but I have seen the pictures of it. The marbling through the meat is something that's different than, you know, kind of than any other meat I've really seen in ribs. I mean, it's just a bright colored red meat, and it has amazing marbling through it. I mean,
yeah, it does. Yeah, it sure does. You know, the color's real nice. It's real red. They're the only pork that does dry age. You can get some dry age pork chops and stuff. That, man, they're like butter, just like eating a steak. Just that their diet they're on, it's a real good diet. Where the fat just kind of melts in your hand. I'll tell you one thing. We like to, when we do bacon and stuff, we like to save our bacon to do our refried beans and do whatever. And when you save the bacon in a cup, the regular bacon turns hard and white. This one stays kind of liquidy and clear. It don't even get hard. It's just good fat for you. I guess it would be considered like canola oil or something. I don't know. But it's a healthy pork, and it's good stuff, man. I love it. I'm glad we use it. They got good bacon, too. All their pork is good stuff. They call it the Black Angus of pork. I think it's a little bit better than Black Angus, actually.
Yeah, Black Angus is a good product. Do y'all use Black Angus down there? I mean, being in Texas, can you just get any cut of brisket you want from anywhere? I mean, do you have a special producer that actually you get your brisket from?
Well, I use a San Cain Select. It's a packing company in Corpus Christi. I get it at a meat market here in New Braunfels called Grand Beans. I've been lucky with my selects. I know when I went to St. Charles, they said, man, you can't go up there. Everyone's going to be using Wagyus, and you ain't got a chance, and all these true ranch briskets. I said, well, you know, I mean, I don't know how to cook one of them yet, I guess. I hear they cook a little bit different. I don't know. So I went with our select, and we took four, so I was pretty proud about that, you know. So I don't know. I guess it's just cooking it low and slow. It works, you know.
Yeah, we have had our brisket man, Trent Hurley. He actually a brisket man. He actually orders in the briskets. He's ordered some in from Snake River Farms. We've had a couple from different places. But the Snake River Farm has been a really good meat. It's a Wagyu brisket. And when you hold that meat in your hand, kind of like the Duroc pork, when you hold that meat in your hand, you can just feel the tenderness of it. It's just different than any other meat that, you know, you've ever tasted or ever felt. I mean, you don't have to cook it as long. You don't have to cook it as hot. I mean, it really does change everything. But, you know, it still comes down to the flavors you're providing. You know, you might have a tender piece of meat. I know the dry aging, the wet aging, you know, it does make a big difference. But, you know, I always say, just give them what you brung, so...
That's it, you know. Just like they say, you know, race what you bung. So, but yeah, that's what I've been cooking. I like to cook one day. I've seen them. I've seen a few people use them. I think I've tried one or two, not cooked them. But yeah, I've seen them. They do look good. They're pretty high. I wouldn't mind cooking them. You know, maybe if someone sends me some, I'll cook them. You know, but. But right now I gotta buy. But I tell you what, these selects now are getting high too. They're like 2.5 for select. When people say they're paying like $4 for a prime or something, so I don't know. I might have to maybe move up to prime or something.
Yeah, meat kind of went up a little bit this week. I mean, there's not really the market shouldn't really go up right now on the meat. Should the prices still should be coming down? I mean, they're slaughtering pigs left and right up here on pork. I don't know how they're doing it on beef down there. But, you know, the prices should basically stay the same or drop just a little bit. I do know that for a fact.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't tell you what pork's been costing lately because I ain't bought pork in a long time. So I wouldn't know what prices are doing there. But I know the brisket sure going up.
Well, I got one question to ask you. It has been my most requested question. How do you get all those pretty ladies on the pit crew?
It's the hat, huh?
So the hat is what gets it. All right. I was just wondering because I know yeah. I've seen them and there's several other people. They say, ask him about them women because there's always a bunch of women around you. So just had to look and see. But I figure, you know, your number one trademark probably is your hat, correct?
I guess it didn't start out to be that way, but, I mean, everyone always comments on my head and stuff. So, yeah, I guess you can say it's trademarked on my head like that. We just went to a black hat. I've had to, my old hat finally bit the dust. It was my fault. I would let it sit on my dash, and that sun, I think, just finally dried it up. This Texas heat messed it up, and it just cracked and stuff. So I finally got me a new one from Texas Hatters. They hooked me up with the black hat, and so we'll use that one through the winter, I guess, and then we'll see if they can hook us up with another brown hat or something. We'll see. But, yeah, I know you had asked earlier about the hat. It's just a 6-inch brim with a low rise on the top. I forget what it's called. But, yeah, just a plain little old hat, nothing fancy.
All right, Texas Hatters, if y'all out there listening, we need a sponsor for Pitmaster Robert Sierra and the S&S Pit Crew. do you have any sponsors, Robert Sierra?
Yeah, we got a few sponsors. You know, I got All Mates Collision. They're located here in San Marcos. Chris and the guys over there, he's been with us since the beginning. Since day one when I started, I went to him, told him what I wanted to do, and he's helped us out. He's helped us out tremendously. He's our official sponsor, you would say. And then, of course, we got Compart du Rock Premium Pork. They sponsor all my pork. We got Crown Trophy Austin, Store 108. They do all my banners, caps, koozies, iPhone covers, you name it, whatever. They'll do it for me. We got, okay, let me see. I had them on. I forgot. Almanx, Crown Trophy, Compact, Durock. We're starting to work with the Top Shelf Specialty Foods also. Then, of course, our injections and stuff, Cosmos Cube. It's pretty much our sponsors right now.
Well, if you were looking to get any more, what is the contact that they can look you up? Is the best way to look you up under S&S Pit Crew on Facebook, or do you have a website?
Excuse me. As of right now, Facebook under S&S Pit Crew. It's got my number on there. The number there is my cell phone. Pretty soon, it's almost up. We just got to put it together. Pretty soon, first announcement coming here, sspitcrew.com is coming very soon. Hopefully, once we get through cooking, I can kind of get that page up and running, and then we'll start working on that. So that'll be sspitcrew.com. But as right now, my Facebook page, they can get a hold of me right there. And we're always looking for sponsors. We'd like to promote your product if you like. Maybe a Cadillac Cookers might need someone to do some, experiment, or what was the word he used to use one of his pits down here in Texas.
Well, I noticed you said Cosmos Q. I have to bring up something about Cosmos Q. That's a great product. Cosmos Q is one of the top products right now on the market. If you're listening, I would like to have you as a sponsor on my show and on my cooking competition team. But the thing is with Cosmos Q of using this product, our brisket was somewhere in the middle of the pack. In the past two contests, we have taken 8th and a 7th with using Cosmos Q's. So I know for a fact this product works. I don't know if he uses it all the time down in Texas, but I know we've been using it. I know it's a great product. And I know that's probably what he's been winning with, but I'm not going to give away his secret. So, do you have anything to add to that, Sierra? How do you feel about the product? How do you use it?
I love Cosmos Q. I used a few of the other ones. That's what I like about Cosmos. They don't have that taste. It's got some kind of taste, the other ones now, that I can't eat my whole brisket. I can just eat a slice or two, and that's it, and I got to get rid of it. With Cosmos Q, we can eat the whole brisket, no problem. I like the ease of use. You shake it up, you ain't got to heat it up. It dissolves real easy. It don't stain your meat. I've had a few people ask me, man, this is at a competition. Now, at home, I don't use it at home. In competition, I will use it. And, people tell me, man, I like that you don't inject your brisket and stuff like, everybody else does. And some people don't even know that it's injected, and believe me, it's injected. And that's what I like about Cosmos. Their chicken brine is real good, the chicken soup, and so is the pork. So I do use all his stuff for my competition meats.
We like it. The one thing that we really liked was the Moisture Magic. The Moisture Magic product, do you use that? Do you use the Moisture Magic?
Right. That just looks like water.
It does. It's kind of different. You pull your brisket out, you pull your chicken out. It's always juicy.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
That's Cosmos Q's. Was there anything else you'd like to talk? Go ahead.
No, I didn't want to say nothing about Moisture Magic, but I just want to say Cosmos.
Was there anything else you'd like to talk about, Sierra?
I one more sponsor was my One Man Grill, onemanpitsgrill.com, or onemanpitsgrill.com, actually. They sponsored my chicken grill that been doing real good on our chicken. It's helped us, we've done pretty good with it this week. I don't know what happened. I know our chicken was real good. It just, I don't know what happened. But other than that, yeah, we're just here having fun. Like Gabe said earlier, we like to cook barbecue, hang out, meet people, welcome everybody to our camp. Everybody's pretty much welcome. Have a good time, you know. If I got a big red, I'll share one with you. If I got barbecue, I'll share it with you. If I got a secret, you're on your own, but nah, we'll share something. We'll share something with you. You know, it don't matter.
If you got a big red and you're going to share it with me, I appreciate it more than anything. I appreciate having you on tonight. It's been a fun segment. Everybody out there listening, if there's any sponsors out there listening, you want to get a hold of Pitmaster Robert Sierra, you can look it up. S&S Pit Crew on Facebook has his number on there. Leave a message. He'll get back with you. He's always on Facebook. He's always posting something up. He's always moving on the internet. You like to say anything else before we get off?
Yeah, Cody, I'd like to say thank you very much, Lulu's Barbecue, Southern Soul Radio Talk Show. Thank you for having us. You know, I wish you all the luck with your show. I know you're doing great with your barbecue over there, and I know that Red Sled is doing fantastic things. Hopefully one day that's something we can do. And whenever you want to have us again, feel free to call us. We'd love to join you again. And thanks for giving us some time. I know maybe Gabe want to add something else too, but, you know, we just love doing what we're doing, and hopefully we get better at it, and we just keep working at it and trying to get some walks.
Did you say Gabe want to say something real quick?
Yeah, if you got time.
Fine. Go ahead, Gabe.
I just want to reiterate what Robert said. Just thanks a lot for having us on, and, you know, we'd like to wish everybody luck out there who's competing, and, you know, hopefully we'll run into y'all someday, and hopefully it'll be on that. Hopefully it'll be in the winner's circle, you know. And again, you know, we welcome everybody. You know, that's, you know how Robert is, just like him talking him on Facebook. You know, I personally call him the Mayor of Barbecue, just because, you know, a lot of people come up, and you know, we just meet a lot of people. We welcome everybody. So thanks again, and good luck to everybody that competes. And hopefully we'll see y'all out there pretty soon.
Well, I appreciate having you on, fellas. It's been a great time. We're going to get on to our next guest. Keep on listening, all right?
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Appreciate it, my man. Thank y'all very much.
All right, thanks. We'll see you soon.
Now, our next guest that we're going to have is a KCBS judge. If you want to call in, ask questions, be a part of the show, this is something that you're going to want to know. We're going to kind of get in depth on what kind of happens in the dark room. The room where you turn in your boxes and nobody gets to see. We're actually going to talk about what it is to be a judge, kind of different things of what they're looking for. So if you want to get online, you want to get in, you want to ask your questions, call 347-202-0263. That was 347-202-0263. Don't give up this opportunity. Be giving out her last name tonight because I do not want you bombarding her on Facebook. Please welcome Miss Debbie.
Hello.
Are you there, Miss Debbie? How are we doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you, Cody?
I am doing wonderful tonight. How's Tom doing?
He's not feeling very well. So
he's not feeling very good.
He would love to be on, but we were at Sam's Club Finals this weekend, and the weather was real windy and rainy, and I think he just caught something, so...
Yeah, it's probably better off if he stays in bed.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Debbie is a KCBS judge. Will you tell them what you just got just not too long ago?
I am now considered a KCBS master judge.
She is a KCBS Master Judge. What are the duties of the KCBS Master Judge?
Well, there aren't any more duties than there are to be a regular KCBS judge. The only difference is that there are some contests, like the Jack, like the finals for the Sam's Club, and there's certain contests where they will only accept master judges to be judges. Some of those higher end, you know, for example, the Sam's Club paid out a $150,000 purse. So they want...
That's a lot of money.
They wanted to make sure that they had seasoned judges. And in order to get the designation of master judge, you have to first judge... Well, you have to be a KCBS judge. In order to be a KCBS judge, you have to go through a class. And once you pass the class or go through the class, they teach you how to judge the four categories and what's considered... you know, something that you would have to disqualify. You're not the one who disqualifies. It would be the rep that would be the disqualifier. But to know, say, you know, table captain, they have, you know, a foreign object in their box or not enough pieces. You know, maybe they forgot to cut all the way through their ribs and not all six judges got a piece. So you learn all that. And then once you have judged 30 contests and have cooked with the team and taken a test and passed the test, then you are qualified as a master judge. So Tom was certified in 1998 and I was certified in 2004. And we didn't really get involved until June of 2011. So June 2011, our first contest was in Hernando, Mississippi. And if anybody knows my husband, Tom, he's a big go big or go home kind of a guy. So he was determined to get that master judge designation. So we've traveled all over. We've been as far south as Mobile, Alabama. We've been all the way up to Columbia, Missouri. We've been to Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia. We've been all over. Missouri, definitely a lot in Missouri. Tennessee, Mississippi. And I was fortunate enough to cook with a great, great team called Killer Hogs in Millington, Tennessee. And Tom was able to cook with... Barbecuer's Delight, Candy Weaver. And so then we both took the test and passed the test, and so now we're considered master judges. What else do you want to know?
So when you actually start out, so Tom started out in 98 and you started out in 2004, but y'all really didn't start doing any contests till 2011, but you was both certified, correct?
Yes, yes.
So to become a master judge, you had to do 30 contests.
Mm-hmm.
You had to cook with a team.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to take a test, correct?
Yes, yes.
Now, let me ask you this. How many master judges are there in the KCBS? Do you know that number?
I do not know that number. I do know that, for example, at the one we were just at in Bentonville, Arkansas, they really needed master judges. So I don't know how many are on the books or how many are active, but we needed 50. There are 50 teams, and you have to have one judge for every team. So we needed 50 certified master judges. And, you know, we ended up jumping in at the final hour because they were short. So we jumped in to help.
So you just jumped in, got in a vehicle, and took off to Bentonville, didn't you?
Just about.
It's like this. You know, it's kind of like us cooking. All the people was out there cooking. You know, we're wanting to go to these special events, the big events, the Jack,
mm-hmm.
the American
mm-hmm.
Rule, Bentonville. You're wanting to go to all these events.
Yes.
Is it kind of the same way for judges? I mean,
yes.
Is that held real high, the Sam's Club at Bentonville, you know,
oh,
the American
sure.
Rule? I mean, is all that,
sure.
I mean, that's kind of the same way y'all see the perspective as we see it, correct?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, another misnomer for KCBS judges is the fact that, first of all, we don't get paid. I was listening to your previous hour, and they were talking about how, you know, it's a hobby. And being a judge is a hobby. It's like playing golf or watching NASCAR or, you know, any of those kinds of things that you do for a hobby. Tom and I just happened to pick judging barbecue as our hobby. So we have to pay for our hotel room. We have to pay for, you know, our diesel, which we all know has gotten so high. And so, you know, it costs us something. So it's not, you know, sometimes I think teams think that, you know, we don't have any expense, but we do. Now, not nearly as much as you guys do, because y'all do have a major expense with the meat and your smokers and, you know, your if you're a pellet person, your pellets, your charcoal. I mean, I definitely understand that, and I understand it more now that I've cooked with a team to see how they lose sleep and they, you know, but one thing that we all share in common is we all love barbecue. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, Tom and I, when we met y'all in Cape Girardeau last year in 2011, you know I loved you guys the minute I met you. And
Just go ahead and say it.
It's true. You guys know it. You guys are my boys. I love my boys. And, you know, and you're a team, and I'm a judge. But you know what? We had that common love of barbecue and sharing. Y'all were so generous to Tom and I. You know, come on. You know, and we all know about the Saturday no fraternizing. So what do? We came Friday night, so we had to, you know, stay in a hotel room because we wanted to walk around and talk to the teams because that's what makes this part of the whole thing. You know, we want to get the whole experience. We're not just going to come Saturday morning, sit down, judge four meats, and walk out the door and leave. You know, I don't know if you remember, but Tom and I, we stayed for awards. We want to see who won because we don't know.
Right.
We don't know who won. And you know, so anyhow, you know, meeting you guys. And so that year at Cape Girardeau is when Tom said, you know, he and I, Friday night, after we walked around and talked to everybody, we were starving. You know, we don't bring anything to cook or anything like that. So, you know, we went down the street to Domino's and got a pizza and brought it back to our hotel room and we ate a pizza. And Tom said, you know what? We need to change this. And so he came up with the idea of the Friday night dinners. And so, you know, he said, contacts an organizer, you know, if we're going to be judging at their contest and says, you know, I'd like to put together a judges team reception on Friday night. Can you give me everybody's email addresses? And so he'll send out an email, you know, it depends when we get the email list from the organizer, but, you know, we'll send out a list and say, we're going to make the main dish. The judges can bring the side item and the teams can bring a dessert. And, you know, some contests have the ancillary, you know, category judging on Friday night. And so, you know, we won't do it for that. But, you know, and a lot of the contest organizers say, you know, yeah, that's great because it kind of brings the teams away from their environment into more of a neutral area so that you can talk to your fellow team members, your fellow judges. And like I said, the one thing we all share is a love for barbecue. Now, we're not looking for your secret of how to make brisket, but Tom might say to you, so, you know, you're slow, what, long and slow, or, you know, he does the terminology much better than I do. You know, or are you hot and fast, you know, low and slow, that's the word, low and slow, or are you hot and fast? You know, he just wants to hear what you guys have to say. You know, if there's one thing that we've learned is that everybody wants to share. Now, you don't want to share everything, but you want to share. And so it gives the teams and the judges, for those judges who come in early on Friday, a chance to meet and you know, talk. And we've met some phenomenal teams. We've met some phenomenal judges. We have just had one of the best times. Tom and I have been married almost 30 years, and we work together, and we play together. And, you know, so what other questions do you have?
I know that, you know, when we got the email from y'all, you know, mm-hmm. I was kind of shy. I was like, they want to meet us. Why do they want to meet us? We're nobodies. I mean, who wants to meet us, you know, when we first started?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we met y'all, we mingled with you, you know, mm-hmm. at every event, it seems like y'all are cooking at every event. Every event I've been to that y'all are judges, on Friday night, you're cooking, you serve a meal. And, you know, the thing with us, I don't bring anything to eat on Friday night. I'm kind of like y'all. And then, you know, nobody else either does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most people stay within, you know, 20 feet of their trailer, their setup.
Right.
You know, that's as far as they go. But in that event, it brings everybody out. I know when we was down at Pine Bluff, Arkansas, they had the big tent. Y'all cooked some amazing food on y'all's new cookers. I can't say the word. But your new cookers that y'all have, you can look them up on their Facebook page. But, I mean, it was just something because even though it was pouring down rain that day.
It was pouring down rain.
I'm not talking a little bit of rain. I'm talking pouring down rain, and there was probably, I don't know how many people crammed underneath the tent. But everybody was standing there beside each other like you was at school, you know, having lunch and, you know, talking and swapping secrets and, you know, different things, asking how. You know, that's the kind of thing I've noticed here recently with the events that y'all have been doing. That it gets the teams together more, some that you probably would not get to talk to, and some that, you know, that you have talked to. But it does let you talk back and forth. I mean, nobody's going to give their secrets away, but everybody's playing on the same page where, you know, they want to know, hey, are you going to spicy at this contest? Are you going sweet? What do you think judges are going to be like? I know when we was in Springfield this week, we were sitting there, and we was right there by the tournament door, and every judge had to walk by us. On Saturday, they talked to us. You know, we know the questions not to ask. You can't get in their pocket and ask, you know, all the questions and stuff like that.
Sure.
We just talked to them besides these regular people, you know, and all of them talked. You know, they were probably 90% of them was first-time and second-time judges. So, you know, they actually had a good understanding about what was going on, the teams. And, you know, they was real accepted to talk to us also. And I think there's a barrier there that a lot of people don't see that, you know, it don't have to be, you know, they're judges, we're barbecue people. You know, you just can't, you know, you can't mingle. But, you know, you actually can mingle. And I like mingling.
Yeah.
You know, this year we met you and Tom over at Benton, Kentucky at the Tater Day cook-off. You know, we was there. Y'all was there. After the event, Tom come up. He said, let me try your food. And I said, okay. So we let him try our food.
Oh,
because
no.
at every contest, he's got to eat our food. And I appreciate it because I'm always wanting him. I basically, because I'm pushing it in front of his face. Eat this, eat this, eat this. You know, and he'll eat food. And, you know, and the thing I like about him is that he gives a straight, honest opinion as if he was sitting behind the table.
He's looking at the box.
It's the same thing. He'll go, well, I don't like this. You know, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. And I go back and change it. You know, and this year we was at Benton. He comes up trailer. You know, we already got the food in the box. You know, we got some chicken, we got some brisket, we got some ribs, we got some pork. Got the box, gave it to him, and he ate it. And he said, y'all have become a professional team. I mean, that
he
was the greatest compliment it could have been. We might not have won nothing holy that day. I don't know what we won. I think we won seventh place ribs.
Yeah.
I think the pork did all right. I don't even remember about the rest of it. I know chicken probably took last. So chicken's my worst category. We'll get in that in a little bit because I want to figure out the chicken category.
Okay.
But, you know, that's one thing between the judges, and we have become great friends with y'all. We talk to y'all all the time.
Yes.
We see everything that's going on. You know, what you were talking about the team Killer Hogs. Killer Hogs was, you know, down there at Pine Bluff. You know, I've talked to Malcolm a couple of times.
Yeah.
But, you know, haven't really got to in-depth on talk. You know, when we was at your event where y'all was cooking and serving food, you know, me and Malcolm and Kobe and I can't remember the other boy's name. I'm sorry.
Waylon,
you know,
is his brother.
There. Yeah, Waylon.
Yeah, because you guys are brother team and they're brother team.
Yeah, and they're a brother team. That's something we had unique. You know, they just got their new trailer. We just got our new trailer. You know, they was working out the team.
And both are red.
They were sleeping on the floor. We were sleeping on the floor. I mean, it's all good. But, you know, but I haven't got to really get in-depth talk with Malcolm.
Sure.
And, you know, we got there and we was talking out in the rain and, you know, it was just a great time, something for, you know, it couldn't have happened
yep.
without the events. So
yep.
if you are at an event where Miss Debbie or Mr. Tom is at, make sure you go there that Friday night and enjoy the meal, enjoy everything going on. Do y'all have any contests coming up?
I think we're going to be in Harrison, Arkansas, the 1st of November. Then the middle of November, we're going to be in Cumming, Georgia. And then at the end of November, we're going to be Christmas on the River in Demopolis.
We was wanting to go to Christmas on the River because it kind of falls on our birthday.
Okay.
But they're kind of booked up. They're kind of booked up now.
Are
from
they?
What I heard.
Their spot
up
is
down
not
there.
Real big. They can't really grow because of where they're at, right there on the river. But it's a great run contest. We really enjoyed that contest. We brought our daughter and her little friend, and they loved the small community. And, you know, it was a really nice one. But, you know, I haven't been to a contest that I haven't liked. I can honestly say I have been to a contest. There's not one that I haven't liked.
We've liked all the contests. We might not like the way the standings are at the end of the contest, but we've always liked every contest. I can
yes.
guarantee you that one. I mean, everyone's unique. Everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a different environment from all of them.
Sure.
What is your favorite contest you think you've been at that you can push people to say, you know, if you have a chance, go to this contest?
Let me think. Give me 1 second here, because there's so many. We loved Mobile, Alabama. That was, I think, in like either February or March. and it starts on Thursday night. They have a fish fry and a silent auction. It's for United Cerebral Palsy. And those are the kind of contests that I really enjoy. Now, you know, the ones that are for the Chamber of Commerce and you know, the community, I love those too. But when it benefits children, I don't know, I just have, you know, Tom and I have 4 kids, and I just have a soft spot for kids. But that one started on Thursday night. Now, Mobile, Alabama is a little bit far from Tennessee. And so we went up Thursday and stayed in a local hotel and went to the silent auction and the fish fry. And then Friday night, we had our judges' team reception, and we were in a big, huge tent. And Tom had made lasagna. Well, we didn't have any smokers or anything to cook the lasagna on. And so he just walked up to Jiggy Piggy and said, "Do you mind if I use your FEC 100s to cook this lasagna for the party tonight?" And they're like, "Sure." Well, little did Tom know it was going to take forever to cook that lasagna, and he was getting so worried and stuff, but they were so generous. We had great food, great fellowship there. That was a phenomenal contest. They had a backyard division that was, you know, just a really nice contest. You know, let's see, what else? What other ones have we been to that we really, you know, I put it on the spot, I can't think. And, you know, Tom and I keep a little journal of every contest, and we write, you know, who the reps were, who the organizer was, did we have a Friday night party, you know, what the hotel room was like, because, you know, some of those can get a little dicey. And, you know, just that kind of stuff when we rate it and say, you know, yes, definitely we will make every effort to go back to that one. So, you know, there's so many different reasons why some contests are better than others. You know, weather, when weather's yucky, or we were in Benton, Illinois, and it was 105 degrees, and we were in a tent, and, you know, that can get a little tough, but he's since moved his contest to the end of October, and, you know, so next year I'm sure we'll, you know, we'll try to make it back to the one in Benton, Illinois, you know, so not one that
well,
really sticks out.
I know we like seeing at the contest, and hopefully, you know, if we start some next year, being some next year, maybe at the end of the year, maybe we'll run into him.
Ooh,
all right, now, are you
great.
Ready to get down into it?
Sure, I'm ready. You go right ahead.
Everybody wants to know what happens in the dark room. You know, the close-in time, you walk your boxes up, you turn them in, and you're shut out. When those boxes go in, how do they actually distribute those boxes onto the table?
Well, that's called turning. So when you set your box on that table, you have a number, okay? That number gets changed. We never see the number of the box that you guys have. We never know what your number is. So Lulu's barbecue is number 12. They're going to put a number on the top of the box, and it's going to say 245, okay? So they get six boxes with different numbers than y'all know. And so when they bring that tray of six boxes over to the table, the person who does it is called the table captain. Now, a good contest is going to have six judges and one table captain. Sometimes, you know, they don't have enough judges, and so you have to do what you call double duty. And so you're a table captain and you're a judge at the same time. So the table captain takes those, you know, clamshell boxes and has everybody number. We have what we call a plate. And basically what it is a placemat that has six boxes. And in those six boxes, you have a little box, and you write the number. Say, remember how I said they labeled yours 245. So we're going to say first entry is number 245, 245. And so we're going to label all the numbers from the six boxes for that one table. Next, the table captain is going to take number 245 was the first box, and they're going to open up that clamshell, and they're going to say, number 245, we're judging on the appearance of the meat only. And you open that box.
Let me ask you about appearance. When you open up the box and you see it, we'll just say any category. I mean, what's the first thing you're looking at on appearance? These are the most questions that everybody wants me to ask, is appearance, taste, texture, you know, everything like that. On the appearance, what are you actually looking for that distinguish a different box from a better box? You know, we're all using lettuce. We're all using parsley.
Right.
I mean, what actually
and
is the most
And you're not judging that. You're judging the meat.
You don't get judged. You do not get judged on the parsley. You get judged
exactly.
on the meat.
On the meat. So this is, and you know, judges may be different, but this is the way I was taught, and this is the way I judge. And that is, I'm looking at the appearance of the meat, and my first thought is this meat that I just, oh, man, I cannot wait to eat that. I can't wait to take a bite of that. And for sure, if that's my first initial reaction, it's a 9. And then, you know, you might count up for certain things. Now, to me, appearance for an experienced cook, they're going to get 9s. You know, maybe an occasional 8, or but an experienced boxer is going to get a 9. Things that might throw you off of a 9 would be maybe if your sauce is clumpy and not smooth, or, you know, not necessarily clumpy, but just not uniform. Uniformity does a lot for appearance.
Before cutting ribs, say you want all the slices to be together, right? You don't want any gaps. Am I saying that right?
No. You can have gaps. You can have gaps. But what I'm saying is you're not going to want to have them look like they were thrown in the box. You want them, you know, standing in single file line type of thing. You know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, one after another, but you want uniformity. For example, let's talk about chicken.
Okay.
I've seen all different kinds of chicken, but the majority of cooks cook what? You tell
thighs.
Me.
Thighs.
Thighs.
They cook thighs.
How many do they put in a box?
Well, that's my next question for you. What is the best number to put in a box? Do you feel that it hurts you to put as many pieces of chicken in the box as you can get, or just a 6 count, that, you know, only 6 pieces in the box for 6 judges, or does you feel like you have an advantage if you put more pieces in the box, or does that hurt you?
You know, I don't think it would hurt you as long as it stays uniform. I've seen 9 pieces of chicken. Now, those are pretty small size. Think about fitting 9 in a box. I have
noticed how do judges feel about eating those? I mean, the small size compared to the regular thigh that actually has been cut down or the bone out. I mean, how do they look at that? Do they look at that as an accomplished person that can cook, or do they look at it as a different way? I mean, is it a downfall or is it upcharge for you?
You know what? I don't judge any different between somebody who left the bone in versus somebody who doesn't. The only thing in appearance, the only thing that makes a difference in that is if you don't have the moisture. If, you know, in my brain, my thought is that when you cook something with a bone in it, it's more moist. Now,
correct.
I have definitely had chicken thighs that didn't have a bone that were the moist thing, like it had the bone in it. So, you know, nobody's going to count against you if you have a bone in or if you have a bone out. Now, some of the extremes that I have judged have been where they haven't, in my opinion, been educated well enough, talked to their neighbor, where this, not in Bentonville, but one of the prior contests that we've been to, the table captain opened that box, and there was a boneless, skinless chicken breast and leg that was cut up into 6 pieces.
So that's why I've been getting last place. That was my box.
That was your box.
No, I'm just messing with you. That wasn't my box, but
I know. I know it wasn't.
Let me ask you on that. Do you find that judges are more appealing to something new or just the same old thigh, 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 thigh? Or are you kind of overwhelmed when you get a chicken wing, when you get a leg, when you get something different in the box than actually what is the main product, the thigh? I mean,
well,
do you get more excited over that?
You know, I don't know necessarily that I get more excited because, you know, when I judge, I close my eyes after I've done appearance. And when I'm doing the taste and tenderness, I close my eyes because I want that taste in my mouth to be what I'm judging, because I've already judged for appearance. So,
right.
And I take at least minimum of 2 bites of everything. I know a lot of times people think that judges only take a little tiny bite so that they could put it in their to-go bag and bring it home. And the judges that I've been around, we're serious about judging. We're not taking this lightly. We're not there just to get free food. Because, like I said, it costs us money to be there. And, you know, we're just as serious about the competition that y'all are. And we want to be the best judge that we can be. So let me go back to you had said about how many pieces you have in a box. Now, I'm not going to count off for you if you only have 6 pieces. As long as they're uniform and they look appealing, makes me want to, you know, eat some, you're not going to get count off for that.
So
now,
the number one thing on appearance that you're looking for is uniformation. You're looking for everything to be uniform and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest thing that y'all are looking for.
And we're never looking for perfection. We are never, ever looking for perfection. We are looking for excellence. A 9 is not perfect. A 9 is excellent. Now, when you start taking away from 9 is because there's been, you know, some type of error made. You know, maybe the meat was too hot when it was put in the box and all of the sauce has drained off of the thigh, okay? And now it's, you know, it's all dripping down and it doesn't look pretty anymore. You know, appearance is your vision, what you're looking at, how it appears. And so you might count off for that. Sometimes in a rib, it may look dry, and so you might count off because it doesn't make you want to, oh, I can't wait to taste that rib. Sometimes in ribs, the cut is jagged and it's not uniform, you know.
Okay, let me ask you about this while you brought up ribs, because I know sometimes when you look at boxes, there's boxes on on the judge side on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
some of them are cut halfway down the side of the bone, and some, one part has meat on it. Is there a specific way you pull it out of the box and it goes on your plate and you have to eat it that way, or can you turn it around
to eat it
on the fatty side?
You can eat it whichever way you want. Once you put it on your plate,
I always, on
a rib, I take a bite on both sides.
So you take a bite on both sides.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've watched a lot of videos with Casey Biss judges and different things. I see a lot of them biting on the corner. Do mainly most of them bite on the corner, or do they a lot of them bite in the middle? I just didn't know if that was just something that was a technique or just something that what I just saw in a couple of videos.
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't really watch the way other judges because I'm doing it myself, you know. For me personally, I always bite in the middle. I don't know why. Maybe that's the way I was taught, but I always take a bite in the middle. Now, if I'm undecided, I may take a bite on the side. And like I said, I always take a bite on each side because I want to, you know, consistency. So, you know, I don't really know what every other judge does because, quite frankly, I'm not watching them bite.
So you're focused on what you're doing.
I'm focused on what I'm doing, yeah.
When you take that bite out of chicken, out of ribs, out of brisket, out of pork, is there a specific way you eat that on your palate?
Mm-hmm.
Or you just eat it just like a regular person? Because I don't think a lot of people know that, you know, there is different ways of eating it. I've had different judges from the NBM Network and the KCBS judges I've talked to, and they actually eat it a different way. Can you explain that way that you actually eat the product?
I personally, when I get a piece of chicken, I take a bite out of the center. It's kind of like when you hold your thumb and your forefinger, you know, your pointer finger, and I take it like that, and I take a bite in the center. I used to take a really big bite, but one time out of, we just finished our 34th contest, one time out of 34 contests, it was raw on the inside and bloody raw. And so I don't take as big of a bite as I used to because now I'm a little gun shy. But out of 34 contests, to only have one chicken piece that wasn't cooked all the way. And I think that's maybe one of the downfalls of the hot and fast. I really feel like, and you know, I don't know, but I really personally feel like people have gotten away from smoking chicken and more barbecuing chicken.
So what's the number one you say was?
Say that one more time.
What was the number one you saying between smoking chicken and cooking hot and fast? Do you see a lot more the hot and fast style now compared to the low and slow is what you're seeing,
that's,
you know,
that's the way
about
I
a year ago?
I don't know this because I'm not, you know, I don't know who's doing what. But when I first started judging to today, I feel like it's more of a barbecued chicken than it is a smoked chicken. And I don't know if you know exactly what I'm talking about, but there's a difference in
taste. I do understand what you're saying, because when you cook something hot and fast, there's a different taste than a low and slow piece of chicken. I mean, it's totally different.
I mean, it really is. Yeah.
I mean, is that better if you cook it low and slow? Or is it, you know, a preference? I got to work some angles here. I got to get some answers out of you. I'm going to have a thousand people over here trying to beat me down, trying to get some answers.
I am one of, what, like 300,000
judges? Right.
But you know, as far as I'm concerned, as long as the chicken is moist, it has good taste, good texture, its, you know, appearance is great, you're going to, you know, some people say, I heard the judges never give 3-9s. Well, we all know that's not true because there's teams out there that get 180s. So you know that six people, or at least five, gave you all 9s, 3-9s. So, I mean, it... judges aren't as bad as some people think. But I did forget to go back to the how many pieces you put in a box. The rule of thought, or, you know, and I don't count against this, but maybe you're wavering between an 8 and a 9, and if you had, you know, 7 pieces, 8 pieces, 9 pieces in the box, what happens is once we've all taken those one portion of the food, now, if you had put in there 6 thighs and 6 wings, we have to take one thigh and one wing because you presented us two different chickens.
So if there's 12 pieces in a box of two different categories, kind of like chicken and wings, thighs and wings, you have to take a thigh and a wing?
Yes.
So if you put three pieces,
We don't have to, but that's kind of the way that you know, you're taught. It's like for, you know, pulled pork or, you know, pork entry. Sometimes you have the muscle, sometimes you have pulled, and sometimes you have bark. So you're going to take a piece of the muscle, you're going to take a piece of the bark, and you're going to take some of that pulled. So same concept for the brisket. Some have slices of brisket with burn ends. So you're going to take a slice of brisket, and you're going to take a burn end. Now, whatever's left in that box gets put to the side, and it's put on the grazing table. They call it the grazing table, and that's where the people that are working turn in, that are helping with, you know, the contest, that's where they can come and graze. They can taste, you know, the product. They too don't know who it came from, but that gives them, you know, you have a little bit more. So my thought is, if your box looks good with six, go with six. If it looks good with eight, go with eight. You know, we have seen lots of different, you know, things put together.
Let me ask you about chicken real quick.
Sure.
Even though it's my worst category, I kind of want to know this. Have you been seeing a lot of white meat and a lot of different things in the chicken box?
You know,
because I've heard of some things going on, and I've kind of just wondered, is the element in chicken getting changed? You know, how it was with pork. You know, it used to be with pork. Everybody took pulled pork and threw it in a box.
Right.
And then now it's, you know, medallions, and there's a lot of different stuff you can do with it. Just like brisket, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do with it. Ribs, you kind of just screwed with whatever you got. I mean, that's about it.
Now, the difference in ribs I've seen is, and I don't know the terminology for the cuts and stuff, but where they do, like, they sacrifice that middle bone so that you get a lot of meat on both sides of that one bone.
The Hollywood cut?
Is that what it's called? I don't know what it's called.
The slices on both sides? I've turned in those.
Yeah, and I've seen that. You know, so there is variation. And of course, you know, you have your baby backs and you have your Kansas City style. And excuse me. You know, so there are different things to do with ribs, but you're right. For the majority of your ribs are ribs. Now, as far as changes in chicken, the majority is still going to be thighs. The majority is still going
to
be thighs.
I just had to ask that question.
Yeah.
I got 2 minutes left.
Okay,
I'm going to ask one more question.
Go ahead.
What's the biggest flavor profile you are looking for? Is it a spicy with sweet? Because this is one of the other number one questions we got 1 minute to answer.
Sure.
Is it spicy to sweet? Is it kind of just a sweet taste? Or are we kind of looking at a mixture of something? I mean, everybody's kind of wanting to know what really everybody's looking for on a taste bud. They're not supposed to take off for too hot. They're not supposed to take off for too sweet. They're supposed to just judge in the middle with the meat, the smoke, the seasoning, and the sauce all in one. I mean, what do you think right now? Go ahead.
For me personally, my thought is, let me taste the meat. It's not a sauce contest. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it is.
And brisket is beef. Let it taste like beef.
What about ribs? Give me all four categories. You covered them.
Okay.
You covered pork. Let's see what chicken is.
Chicken, I would say, as long as you let that chicken flavor shine through, we taste a lot of different sauces. Don't be too heavy on the sauce.
Flavor. I can tell you this. With what Tom had told us at a contest about the brisket, we had a great flavored brisket. You had a great taste, but it was not what the judge was looking for. They was looking for a big, beefy taste. We have swapped that last two contests. We have took seventh and took eighth. We're down to 30 seconds. I appreciate you thanks for being on, Miss Debbie.
Thank you.
I appreciate it so very much.
You have a good night, Cody.
You have a great night. I'd like to thank everybody out there listening. You can catch us back next Wednesday night at 7 Central. I'd like to thank all my sponsors one more time, Barbecue Superstars, Nolan's Custom Smokers, Cadillac Cooker and Rotisserie Smokers, Yoke Up Extra Large Charcoal Baskets, and Easy Grilling Products. Everybody have a wonderful night. You still there, Miss Debbie? I think I did an awesome job. I ran out of time with her, though.